What is up, everybody? Welcome to Watching with Westner. I'm your host, Peyton Westner, credential media of the Missouri Valley Conference and American Athletic Conference, as well as Indianapolis Indians and Louisville Bats for your AAA coverage. I'm back, and I appreciate you for joining us this Monday afternoon. I hope your work week is off to a fantastic start. We have a lot of sports to talk about. NBA Finals going on, Game 5 tonight, as well as MLB Draft, which we will talk about tomorrow or Wednesday. I will have to rough out the details there, but we will discuss Hunter Green and where will he fall tonight. Will the Minnesota Twins take him first? Will the Cincinnati Reds take him second? That will be answered at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at the top of the hour. We also have the NHL playoffs. The Pittsburgh Penguins defeated the Nashville Predators 2-0. We will get into that right off the top. And a little UFC, MMA. UFC Auckland was over the weekend. Mark Hunt defeated Derek Lewis. It's a good fight. Little data 5,000-ish for my MMA purists. You know what I'm talking about in terms of Derek Lewis. Let's get into it. Pittsburgh Penguins are Stanley Cup champions. The first time back-to-back NHL champions in the salary cap era, excuse me. It's impressive. It's very impressive. Patrick Hornquist scored the first goal of the game with 95 seconds remaining in regulations. This was after a goal was taken back from Pittsburgh, was waved off because of a premature whistle. It was a clean goal, in my opinion. You hate to see some kind of controversy be attached to a game, but that's what we ended up having last night in the NHL Stanley Cup. But nevertheless, Pittsburgh Penguins are Stanley Cup champions. I was rooting for Nashville. It's a great story. They're the 8th seed in the Western Conference. You don't see that in the NBA. There's very little parity. We see it this year, and I think that is why we saw so many people go to the Stanley Cup playoffs for their entertainment. NHL, there's nothing like the playoffs. It truly is excitement at its finest. There was 18 first-round overtime games. That was an NHL record. And then we had a great playoffs. 6 games, Pittsburgh defeats Nashville. We're going to talk about Sidney Crosby. Is he the greatest NHL player of all time? I am no NHL expert by any means. I'll full transparency, my friends. However, the case can be made. He has tons of accolades. 3-time Stanley Cup champion. 2-time gold medalist for Canada. He also won, let me get this right, the World Cup of Hockey gold medal as well for Canada. He's Canadian man. He's representing the country very well. Then you go into the individual awards. He has won. He's a 2-time Conn Smythe Trophy winner for playoff MVP. He won it last night. 4-time NHL First Team All-Star. 2-time Art Ross Trophy winner. The accolades are amazing for Sidney Crosby. Of course we expected. He said the kid. The chosen one. Though, how does he rank up to Wayne Gretzky? That's the question I think we need to start talking about. You compare LeBron James to Michael Jordan, as you should. Tom Brady's officially taken over the GOAT status in the NFL. But Sidney Crosby, the comparison to Wayne Gretzky, you start to make it at this point in his career. Gretzky, of course, 8-time All-NHL player. Crosby still has a long ways to reach that, of course. 894 goals, the most in NHL history, and 4 Stanley Cups. That is where Sidney Crosby still has to make some grounds on Wayne Gretzky. He's young, though. He still has a lot of hockey to be played. And the dynasty, is it a dynasty officially in Pittsburgh now? No one's won back-to-back Stanley Cups since 1997, 1998, the Detroit Red Wings, when they were in the Western Conference. Chicago Blackhawks had a storied run a few years ago, though perhaps Pittsburgh is now the new kids on the block that had the sunglasses on, sitting at the curb. You have to knock them off the top. The case can be made for them in the Eastern Conference. Was this the best NHL playoffs in a recent history? I believe so, but I'm no hockey expert. You know, college basketball, MMA, and baseball is my expertise. Though, hockey has the element of, since there's very low scoring, kind of like baseball, but in a different way. There's those one possession games in the third period, and there's always that suspense, the edge of your seat aspect that gets you to tune in and watch hockey. That and Pittsburgh. Let's look at it. Back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. Cannot deny them. Although, the controversy does always make you shake your head. But they faced some adversity along the way. And that's something we don't see with Golden State right now, who was 12-0, technically 15-1 right now. If they win tonight, they'll be 16-1. We'll get into that a little later. Pittsburgh, five-game series to Columbus to start off the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. Then they were pushed to a seven-game series with Washington. Alexander Ovechkin, then seven games with Ottawa. This wasn't any walk in the park for the Penguins. That, to see a team be pushed, is all we're looking for to create that excitement, the suspense, the entertainment that comes with sports, the ultimate reality television, as Adam Silver said, NBA commissioner. There's none of that in the NBA right now. We discussed that in the past when I was down in Florida, and that persists to remain. Moving on to MMA. Auckland, New Zealand was the host of a fight night. Derek Lewis, Mark Holmes, a heavyweight bout between the 6th and 7th ranked fighters in the heavyweight division. He also had some great fights. He had Derek Brunson, who was going to bounce back from his loss against Anderson Silva, fighting Dan Kelly. And Dan Kelly, that questionable matchup that was passed by sanctions. The athletic commission, that is. I didn't like that matchup when it was passed. Dan Kelly, he's got the... kind of reminds you of a dad fighting, but... And Derek Brunson put him in his place. That start a little earlier. Ben Ginn. He steamrolled Tim Elliott. Caught him in a rear naked choke. 49-second submission. Ben Ginn is now 4-1 in the UFC. That's impressive. He is slowly climbing up the flyweight division. That is since May of 2015 that he is 4-1. And all three of the four victories in the UFC have come by submission, including this one. He's bounced back very beautifully since his loss to Luis Smolka. Unanimous decision shutout of Gene Herrera prior to Saturday's victory. Where does he fit in this division? And I wrote about it on a column on MMA Latest News. You can check that out. There's really no promotion of this flyweight division. You saw that when the UFC decided to give the Ultimate Fighter Season 25 champion a chance at Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson to fight for the championship. There's no respect. There's no promotion. Only one flyweight fight outside of championship fights, including Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson, have been on pay-per-view since UFC 197, which was in April of last year. That is very questionable to the direction that you're moving. Women's bantamweight's the second lowest, and that includes title fights for them, with three appearances on pay-per-view on the main card. There's good fighters in this division. Ray Borg, Henry Cejudo, Joseph Benavidez, who, injury aside, he may get the next title shot against Johnson after this current one, whether it goes to Borg, Dillashaw. I've always watched Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson fight. Never missed a fight of his. I think he has a great head on his shoulders. He's humble. And he's very entertaining. His foot movement is outstanding. So I don't understand the side of people not tuning in, which appears to be non-MMA purists. Therefore, with him on the cusp of history, his next victory will put him ahead of Anderson Silva's title-defending record of 10. Why can't you give the man what he wants? He's always been a company man. He never complains about the circumstances. Give him his pay-per-view points. Give him compensation if TJ Dillashaw misses weight. Don't make it harder on him by slipping in Ray Borg in there. You're making the circumstances more arduous to perhaps, through my eyes, even the playing field. That's not right. That's not right at all. I'm unsure if a resolution will come between Dana White and Demetrius Johnson. I hope it does. Though, It's questionable. Especially considering the fact that Dana White has stiffening up and saying now Conor McGregor is the best pound-for-pound champion, which, in terms of the definition of pound-for-pound, going up to lightweight for Conor McGregor after defeating Jose Aldo in 13 seconds, it does. That is the definition of pound-for-pound, as if you were moving up to another weight division, if you could put them side-by-side, mirroring one another. Tim Elliott, who lost to Benton again, he looked on the up-and-up, especially considering he was not finished by Demetrius Johnson in his opportunity. He won the Ultimate Fighter 25, Season 25. He beat Smolka. A setback here. I suppose it's no surprise that Tim Elliott, though when he did defeat Smolka, it looked like he may be in that top five range. He ends up not fitting in there. A good flyweight matchup to watch out for is August 5th. You have Sergio Pettis, who was supposed to fight Henry Cejudo on the last few pay-per-views. And that fight fell out at UFC 211. He will fight Brandon Moreno, who was on the Ultimate Fighter 25. He's moving up very beautifully after losing on the show. He could be a title contender moving forward for Demetrius Johnson. Though, with all the muddles and cloudy forecast over this division, it's hard to decipher what will actually come into fruition moving forward. Daniel Hooker, in the third fight on the main card, the fourth, third to last, he defeated Ross Pearson. Caught him with a knee up the middle. A lot of brutal knees as of late, knocking out people. It's been crazy. For a lack of a better term, these brutal knees, deadly knockouts, that's how you end up with a cracked skull as Cyborg Santos in Bellator when he was knocked out by Michael Venom Page. Warren Pearson's case, knocked out. Hooker, he has 4 finishes in 7 fights. He's 4-3 in his UFC last 7. The people he's lost to, they're the cream of the crop. Yair Rodriguez. Throw in Jason Knight. Yair Rodriguez is more of the cream of the crop in the featherweight division. Though, this loss is more about Ross Pearson. He's on a 4-fight losing streak now. He has lost to Jorge Masvidal. Will Brooks, understandably so, I suppose. But not Stevie Ray and now Daniel Hooker. This may be the end of Ross Pearson, a fighter I have enjoyed watching progress over his career. Though, these defeats, especially as brutal a defeat as we saw on Saturday night, you can only wonder what's his future with the company? Is he going to go to Bellator? A lot of fighters have gone to Bellator. This would be more of a demotion type circumstances. Ross Pearson has seen better days. At 0-4 in his last 4. Tough. Very disgusting. You wonder where he fits into the division. Whatever division, he's been jumping around, welterweight, lightweight. Just hanging on for his career at this point. In the co-main event, I hinted at it. Derek Brunson. He's bounced back. And quite beautifully. He was on a 2-fight losing streak, losing to Robert Whittaker and Anderson Silva. Derek Brunson hit him with a right hand and dropped Dan Kelly. Dan Kelly, of course, he defeated Rashad Evans at UFC 209, beginning of the year. That was Stephen Wonderboy versus Tyron Woodley, too. Dan Kelly, he was sacrificed on Saturday night. Nothing short of it. Derek Brunson is the future of the division. Not necessarily champion, but a definite top contender. If you look at his past losses, his last 4, you have Silva, you have Whittaker. Then you look farther down, and you have Jacare Souza, of course. And then before that, Yoel Romero. Those are 4 of the, arguably the top 6 fighters in the middleweight division. The middleweight division continues to be shark-infested waters. Will George St. Pierre fight Michael Bisping with Bisping's injury and St. Pierre's eye injury? That is where it becomes... It's not right. It's not right that George St. Pierre comes up to 185 pounds and jumps in line of very worthy contenders. We have Yoel Romero at UFC 213 taking on Robert Whittaker for the interim belt. That would be very sly of Dana White and the company, especially considering all the turmoil that Demetrius Johnson has to put up with for George St. Pierre to get special treatment. Go to welterweight. That's where you were champion, George St. Pierre. Go to welterweight. Take on Tyrone Woodley. Take on the winner of Woodley, Damian Maia. But going up to 185 pounds is not right. Especially with Luke Rockhold, Chris Weidman. They're on the down, and hopefully not out, but on the down. Whittaker, Romero. What will happen to Jacare Souza coming off his loss with Robert Whittaker? Then you have Musasi, Gegard Mousasi. Will he be re-signed? You hope so. For another talent to get away to Bellator, or Ryan Bader has left. Phil Davis has left. They'll be fighting at the end of the month on the big Bellator New York City card. In the main event, Mark Hunt outlasted Derek Lewis. It's a fight where the crowd could see the power in both of their hands. Truly, whoever hits on the button on the chin is going to knock out those fights. And both fighters were tremendous. It was a stand-up boxing match, basically. Lewis did implicate some leg kicks early on. He eventually, because of a lack of stamina, went away from that strategy. Derek Lewis, it's a shame if he truly does retire. He was on a 6-fight winning streak. Looked like he was going to be the future of the division, as well as Francis Ngannou. Though, he didn't lose for trauma taken to the body or the head, mostly the head, if you watch that fight. He ran out of gas. Early in that fight, around the third round, is where you could really see Derek Lewis lose his stamina. It appeared when they both came out from the third round, Hunt and Lewis, Hunt appeared with the lesser energy, though it ended up being Derek Lewis. And Lewis, Travis Brown called it a lack of heart. They have their scuffle and problems at the moment. They're going back and forth. Lack of heart? I wouldn't go that far. Lack of conditioning? Definitely. And Mark Hunt, who was 11 years old, the elder, 43 years old, Derek Lewis, 32. Defeated him in his home country, hometown. Outstanding story for Mark Hunt. A shame for Derek Lewis. That was a fight I thought was a must-win for Lewis to continue his rise throughout the division. Though, the heavyweight division is so unpredictable. The only fighters in the top five that have win streaks of more than one fight is the champion Stipe Miocic and Francis Ngannou, who has really not been tested as of yet. 5-fight win streaks for both of them. Miocic, I would love to see him fight Cain Velasquez. We talked about that after Miocic defended his belt. Overeem will fight Fabricio Werdum at UFC 213. That's going to be a fight that provides some clarity, as the winner would most likely get the title shot versus Miocic, depending on Cain Velasquez's health. But enough MMA talk for the day. A little clarity was brought in the heavyweight division, but not much. Mark Hunt, can he hang with the young guns like Ngannou and Miocic? I'm unsure of that. Though, a matchup with Junior Dos Santos to provide a little more clarity, there's really a lack thereof at the moment. That'd be a good matchup to make. Dos Santos is on a losing streak. He lost to Miocic, as you remember, at UFC 211. Going from Stipe Miocic's success to the team he's rooting for in the NBA Finals, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they're not going to score 49 points tonight. Of course, they won Game 4 on a 49-point first quarter. Kyrie Irving was fantastic. He ended up scoring 40 points on Game 4. That won't happen again tonight. No way. LeBron James, how much can he do? Can he will his team to victory? That's what it's going to come down to. Golden State is an outstanding, well-oiled machine at this point. Kevin Durant adding to an already complete team. We're seeing greatness. A greatness that the Golden State wins tonight will have a definite subject to talk about moving forward to decide, is it unfair how good Golden State is? If they're going toe-to-toe with the defending champions, the only team that was arguably able to compete with them, San Antonio. If Kawhi Leonard would have stayed healthy, that's debatable. But Golden State to be that much better than Cleveland, it's very, very unusual considering the history of the competitiveness of the NBA Finals as a whole. Also, you should not expect to stay on the theme. Klay Thompson and Steph Curry to only score 27 points. Combined for 27 points, that is. They scored 13 and 14 respectively at Game 4 on Friday night. And shot 33%, 8 of 24. That's not going to happen in Oakland. But if Cleveland does win, which is possible, they'll have to hit him with a first punch early. Staying on the fighting combat sports analogy, they'll have to hit him with knock him down the first quarter. Jump on him early. Simple as that. If they do win, going 3-2 back to Cleveland, there's definite hope. And the Quicken Loans Arena, the Q, will be rocking for Game 6. Then the ghosts and the skeletons that I've heard on the ESPN stations will come more into the forefront. 3-1 last year. Because going back to Cleveland, that's a very winnable game for the Cavs. And then you're ending up 3-3, winner take all in Game 7. We'll have to see, though. That's a big if that the Golden State Warriors lose tonight at home. A new segment that we're introducing is What's Weird. That's simply what is going weird in the world of sports, or in the world of life, more rather. So, what is there that's going weird today? Credit to SB Nation that Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, I'm a minor league guy myself, the AA affiliate of the Miami Marlins, will be hosting You Might Be the Father Day. What? Courtesy of SB Nation, and this is a direct quote from the Jumbo Shrimp website, in honor of You Might Be the Father Day, the Jumbo Shrimp will be distributing pregnancy tests so you'll know if you need to return for Sunday's Father Day's game. It'll be an evening filled with suspense, intrigue, and manila envelope, end quote. What? Yeah. A lot of great minor league promotions. The greatness about minor league baseball is the promotions having a family atmosphere. That has to be a first. That's Thursday, June 15th, if you're in the Jacksonville area. Though, if you're getting introduced by your significant other, your girlfriend, you may have some explaining to do, or we'll have a bomb dropped on your head. You might be a Father's Day. You might be the Father's Day. June 15th, Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. That's Southern League Baseball for you. Now, to the polls. We had some polls over the weekend. Do you mute your TV when UFC play-by-play color commentator Joe Rogan is not doing a broadcast? 58% of the audience says yes. UFC Auckland did not have Joe Rogan. He does not do any of the pay-per-views or fight nights outside of the country. There was no fight companion either. That was a disappointment. Though Joe Rogan is the voice of the UFC, and there is definitely, according to the audience, a lack of appeal without Rogan doing a telecast. Was this one of the best NHL playoffs of all time? I talked about the 18 first-round overtime games. 75% of the audience says no. And is Pittsburgh Penguins Sidney Crosby the greatest player in NHL history? I compared him to Gretzky. He still needs one more Stanley Cup championship to tie. Gretzky. And, of course, Gretzky has 8 first-team All-NHL. Crosby only has 4. And 894 goals for Gretzky. 75% of the audience says no. A few years, will that change? If he wins, imagine if Pittsburgh wins the Stanley Cup next year. That would truly be Golden State-esque. Because I do expect Golden State to win tonight. Something new. For past episodes, you can go to Periscope as well as iTunes. We are officially Watching with Westerners, officially on iTunes. You can check it out, review, subscribe, and rate the telecast. We do appreciate you tuning in. What do you think? Do you think the Cleveland Cavaliers will force a Game 6? It's possible. A lot of things have to go their way. Kyrie Irving will have to play as he did at Game 4 on Friday night, rather than the player we saw the first 3 games. Interesting stats, though. They all show that Irving is a new player when it comes to elimination games in his NBA career. So, perhaps he does have that clutch gene. I just don't see it in Oakland. But the great thing about sports, always an element of unpredictability. I appreciate you for tuning in again. Thank you so much. That's it for episode 21. We'll be back later this week for episode 22. I appreciate you for tuning in. As I said, nothing without the support of you guys. I really do appreciate it. Especially the support that we have seen just 20 episodes into this. Now 21. Thank you so much. God bless, my friends.